Okay, question number two is this. Why do we worship and partake of the communion on the first day of the week? Was it commanded that we meet upon the first day of the week, or is it an implication? Was it set up because Christ rose upon the first day of the week as per Luke 24, 1 and following? All right, very good question about the Lord's Supper and why we partake of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. And so let's think about that question for a few moments here. Our meeting upon the first day of the week is not an accident. It's not just incidental. It's not, well, that sounds like a good time to meet, so let's meet on the first day of the week. You know, some people would have us think that that's exactly what the situation is. It just happens to be that the first day of the week was a good day, and so that's the day they chose to meet. No, that's not right at all. The Bible sets forth a very clear picture that the first day of the week was a special day to meet upon, and that they partook of the Lord's Supper not once a month or on special occasions, but that they partook of the Lord's Supper on every single first day of the week. And I hope I'm going to demonstrate that right now. And I hope that if you're interested in this topic, you will pay close attention to the scriptures that we're about to look at here. Now, first of all, let's say this. We have four writers of the gospel account that say that Jesus was resurrected upon the first day of the week. And that is important. That is the most important aspect of this first day of the week scenario that we're talking about here. Matthew 28:1, Mark 16:2, Luke 24:1, and John 20 and verse 1. All of those scriptures talk about how Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. But that's not the only thing that is significant about the first day of the week. It is significant. It is important. And we want to ask the question, well, why would the Holy Spirit have included this particular fact if it was not significant, right? I mean, if Jesus had been raised on some other day of the week, would that day have been important? Or if the Holy Spirit and God and Christ didn't want the first day of the week to be significant, would they have mentioned the first day of the week as the day upon which Jesus was resurrected? I don't think they would have. I don't think that would have been something, if it wasn't important, I don't think they would have mentioned it. But they did mention it. All four writers mentioned it. And so, remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as written documents, I want to be clear about this, these documents were written years after the actual resurrection itself. Okay? Now, the events that they're writing about are true and occurred exactly in the time frame that they said it occurred in. But when they actually sat down to write the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was several years later, decades later, perhaps, in some cases. And so the writing down of these events took place later. And when they took into consideration, and the Holy Spirit took into consideration, what to write down, it was with significance that they included the fact that Jesus was resurrected upon the first day of the week. Now, that would have been long after Christian worship had already started, okay? Now, I think that's important, that Christian worship started 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, and 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. That's when Christian worship started in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. So, they had been worshiping as Christians for decades before they wrote down Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so, when they said that he was raised on the first day of the week, that was important. It was significant. And the reason why is because that's the day that they worshiped on, was the first day of the week. Now, so that's the first thing I want us to think about. The fact that all the writers mention the first day of the week as the day Jesus was raised. But second, and this is where we began to look at a moment ago, is that we find that the preaching of the first gospel sermon and the terms of entrance into the kingdom of God took place on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 2 happened on the first day of the week. You say, well, how do you know that Acts chapter 2 happened on the first day of the week? Because it was the feast of Pentecost, or the feast of first fruits is also another way of looking at the feast of Pentecost. And that feast took place 49 days after the Sabbath Passover plus one day. So exactly 50 days. Now think about it for a minute. 49 days is 7 times 7, right? 7 days times 7 weeks gives you 49 days. And that puts you on another Sabbath day, which was a Saturday. And so 50 days is going to be the day after the Sabbath day or Saturday. And what's the day after the Sabbath day? It's Sunday. It's the first day of the week, as the Bible records it as being. And so that's when Acts chapter 2 took place, was on the first day of the week. And all of that is recorded, if you want the scriptural reference, Leviticus 23 and verses 15 and 16 talks about when the Feast of Pentecost was to be observed. And that puts it on the first day of the week. So in Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 and 42, we read these words. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And listen to it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now these four things, the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers, are four aspects of worship that we practice today. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me explain. There is continuing in the apostles' doctrine. That's what we're doing right now as we study the Bible. We're continuing in the apostles' doctrine. We are listening to the preaching of the Word of God, and we're studying the Bible together. That's continuing in the apostles' doctrine. The breaking of bread. That's the second thing that's mentioned. What is that? That's the Lord's Supper. The expression, the breaking of bread, was the first thing that they did during the Lord's Supper, was to break the bread. And so the Lord's Supper came to be known as the breaking of bread. And so there's the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. The next thing is fellowship. Well, this is the Greek word koinonia. And koinonia can have a lot of different meanings. Not only can it mean fellowship, but it can also mean sharing. And sharing is an important concept in the New Testament, because it's from that term that we get the concept of giving. We use the word giving, but they use the word sharing. And sharing was part of the worship. They gave. And what do we do on the first day of the week? We give. What else? So there's Bible study, breaking of bread, there's sharing, and there's prayers. Prayer is an important part of our assembly today. And so there's at least four aspects of worship that they participated in here on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 2. So that's the second thing we want to know. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. That's the first. Second, the first worship service of Christians in the New Testament took place on the first day of the week. That's the second thing. All right. Now the third thing is this. We need to take a good look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It says here, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and again, breaking bread here has reference to the Lord's Supper. All right. They came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, let me give you a little bit of the context of this passage. Paul and his friends have been traveling extensively to collect money for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 26. And they are traveling together. But when Paul gets to Troas, they decided that they would meet there at that location, because they weren't all together up until that point. And Acts chapter verse 6 of Acts chapter 20 indicates that they left after the days of unleavened bread. And the days of unleavened bread are the days of the Passover. And they arrived in Troas 5 days, and they stayed for 7 days. Okay, so think about the time here. They stayed for 7 days. Now, Paul was in a hurry. He was trying to get this money back to Jerusalem. And he knew that there were a tremendous amount of threats that could waylay them with this large purse that he was carrying for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And they had a lot of people, Paul had a lot of people with them as guards and as caretakers for this money as they were traveling. And there's a list of them there in the book of Acts if you're interested in reading that. So I'm sure that they were anxious to get that money to Jerusalem. They wanted to get it as quickly as they could. Yet, they stayed in Troas for 7 days. Why would they delay? Why make it so that they wouldn't be able to go on? Well, here's the reason. It was for the purpose of breaking bread. Paul was waiting for the first day of the week so that he could worship with the saints at Troas. After 7 days, he knew that they were going to get together in a worship assembly there. Because why? Because they worship every first day of the week. And so they got together and they broke the bread. That is, they partook of the Lord's Supper. And in this particular verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, there is in what we call in the grammatical world as an infinitive of purpose. Okay? An infinitive of purpose. In other words, it's telling us what the purpose of their assembly was. They didn't gather together to play tiddlywinks for that purpose. They didn't gather together for the purpose of tying each other's shoes or something like that. What was the purpose that they gathered? They gathered upon the first day of the week to, that is, for the purpose of breaking bread. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, in other words. That's why they gathered together on the first day of the week to do that. And so Paul's preaching to them was kind of incidental in the sense that that wasn't the purpose of their gathering, but he was there for their gathering, and so he preached to them while he was there. The purpose was to break bread. And so the point then of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 is that the assembly on the first day of the week is for the purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, it doesn't say how often they did it, but we can infer that from Acts 20 and verse 7 that they did it every week because he waited 7 days until they met again. But there's another passage that discusses the first day of the week assembly, and that's the next point we want to look at. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week," there it is again, "upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, while it isn't translated directly, there is a special preposition used in this passage, a Greek preposition. And it's a preposition that indicates repetition. So the real translation should be upon every first day of the week, because this particular preposition indicates that. And so what this tells us is that in this particular passage, not only did they meet upon the first day of the week, but they met every first day of the week. And they were to lay aside something upon every first day of the week. Now, when you take Acts chapter 27 with 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 2 and put them together, what do you get? The purpose of their meeting upon the first day of the week was to observe the Lord's Supper. They met every first day of the week, and they were to take up a collection every time they met upon the first day of the week. And so the conclusion is that they met every first day of the week in order to, or for the purpose of, partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that is an inescapable conclusion that we draw from those two passages, Acts 20 and verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 1 and 2. Now, one final point that sort of caps it all, everything that we've said up to this point. And we've said a lot about the first day of the week in this answer to this question. Because remember, Jesus was raised upon the first day of the week. The first Christian worship service was upon the first day of the week, in which they studied the Word, and they gave, and they partook of the Lord's Supper, and they prayed with one another. The Christians met upon the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper, and they met every first day of the week. And now, in Revelation 1 and verse 10, John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he doesn't explain what the Lord's Day is, but he uses that expression, the Lord's Day. Now, what do you think he meant by the Lord's Day? Isn't every day the Lord's Day? You say, well, yeah, in some sense, every day is the Lord's Day, right? But that's not what John was talking about, was it? He was talking about a specific day. What specific day did John have in mind? It was the first day of the week. By the time John wrote the book of Revelation, the apostolic tradition had taken hold that they met upon every first day of the week. And everyone then understood what John meant by the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's Day because that was the day the Lord was raised from the dead. It was the Lord's Day because that was the day the disciples first met to worship the Lord as Christians. It was the Lord's Day because that was the day that they remembered the Lord's death and in His body and in His blood. It was the Lord's Day because that was the day every week that they took up a collection for the saints. So the first day of the week is the day that they partook of the Lord's Supper. And as Christians, we want to do what they did. We want to be what they were, as revealed in the Scriptures. And so why would we not want to partake of the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week? That's what they did. Why would we not want to do that? There's only one reason, and that would be because we don't want to be like them. Now, do we really want that to be the motivation that we have? I don't think we do. I think we want to be like them, and not only should we want to be like them, we ought to be like them. We are supposed to, as we mentioned in Acts 2, verse 41, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what was the apostles' doctrine? It was to partake of the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week. Now, if we're not doing that, or if some other religious body is not doing that, then guess what? They are not continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, that's the only conclusion that you can reach regarding that. And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Or are we going to let some other doctrine take control and continue in that? Well, I hope that we will want to do what the Bible says that we ought to do, to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And therefore, I hope we will want to continue to partake of the Lord's Supper every single first day of the week. You know, people are interested in this question because in different religious bodies, the Lord's Supper is observed in different ways. Some partake of it once a month, some on special occasions, and then there's other religious bodies that offer it almost every single day. But there's only one New Testament pattern for observing the Lord's Supper. And that's the one that we've just talked about here. And you can know which religious body is doing what the apostles want us to do by looking at the practices that they observed in the New Testament. And so let's just do what they did, and then we can know that we are being what they were. And we won't be presumptuous in our worship. What about you tonight? Do you need to do just exactly what the Lord said to do in His Word, as opposed to what some other religious tradition has said you can do, you may do, or you may not do. Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe tonight you need to be just a Christian and follow the teaching in the New Testament. Maybe you need to just do what Jesus said to do in His Great Commission, to hear His Word and to believe it, to repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and become a New Testament Christian, a Christian only. And would you do that this evening? We'd like to help you to do that. If you need the prayers of the church for some other reason, for maybe in helping you worship better as a New Testament Christian, then tonight we're ready to help you with that as well. And whatever your need may be, you can come and make it known right now, while together we stand and while we sing.